Well, hello and welcome to your favorite show. It's called Think Piecing, and I'm your host, Grace Hancock. Hi. Welcome to episode 18. We are all legal adults here at Think Piecing now with episode 18. I don't know, that kind of got weird. Never mind. Happy belated Halloween, everybody. Wow, hello. It feels like it's been 14 lifetimes, and here we are. I gotta say, what a dope Halloween. Full blue moon in Taurus, my jam. Even though as a Gemini, it kind of made me a little fatigued, but there was a lot of other factors going into that. But what a delightful day. As you know, we've been quarantine podding. You get it. With Dawn and Curtis, my sister and my best friend, and my brother-in-law and my other best friend. And we're the three best friends at anyone. And so they came over and we had just like a real fun, chill time. We watched a little Unsolved Mysteries, had a fire pit, the jam, put out my moon water. What a treat. I'm feeling good. I mean, I'm not feeling good. I'm feeling terrible. I'm exhausted in my body. I'm completely nocturnal now, and I don't know who I am or what day it is, but that's fine. For anybody who doesn't know what the fuck I'm talking about, we've been dark for a couple weeks as I've been shooting two projects that I was very fortunate and happy to be a part of and could not be more on cloud nine because it's just exciting. It's so funny. I'm sure I've said it on the show before, but through the years, October for me as an actor tends to always be a great fucking month for me. And then finally, you know, as you self-actualize, I realized I was like, oh, it's because I'm a witch who loves October and loves fall and hates summer and is happy for like, you know, pagan holidays and creepy shit and, you know, all the fun things. And then it's like, oh, it's probably because I'm happier and therefore attracting better things. It's funny how that works out. So once again, lo and behold, October proved to be a really awesome month. I just wrapped on a horror film feature. And right before that, I wrapped on a rom-com short film. So very, very, very grateful. So pleased that work has returned in this COVID dumpster fire of a year. So very, very happy. But I did wrap at and I've already recorded our wonderful interview for today. So I do believe I said this. I'm not trying to be dramatic and be like, guys, but I really am just saying I wrapped at 6 a.m. on Saturday. So my last shoot day was Friday. Did not finish until like 5:45 on Saturday. So I'm a little confused, dazed and confused. Got home, took a shower, went to bed at like 7 a.m., slept for like 3 hours. So I'm just confused. But it's great. But are you kidding me? I'm exhausted from shooting a horror film literally on Halloween. Like, fuck yeah. So again, I'm just really excited, very grateful, very high vibe. I don't know. I'm just really, really, I'm really grateful is what I'm just saying. And I will be repeating myself because again, I am delusional. And an interesting thing that I had, because we talk a lot on this show about like self-care and self-actualization and like, you know, having that self-love and self-acceptance. And it was really funny for me because I had just this insane month because I also additionally have signed with like literally 5 new representatives, which is amazing. So I'm working with all these brand new agents and managers from a bunch of different agencies and like all of these things really just came together and it's a shit ton of work. And so it's just very exciting. There's a lot of things to celebrate, which is not something you feel a lot as an actor. Also, it's certainly not something that I feel as a human. I told my sister on Halloween in the kitchen, I was like, I realized going to bed at 7 a.m. delirious. I was like, oh fuck. Like, I'm so proud of myself and I never feel that emotion. Is that even an emotion? I don't know. But like the feeling of like being proud of myself is genuinely not something in my vocabulary. And I was like blown away by that because I was like, that's ridiculous. Like the life that I lead is insane and I do it, I think, pretty well. So I feel like I have tons of shit to be proud of, but I absolutely do not. I never feel proud of myself ever. And I had to basically kill myself and do like 18 impossible things for me to be like, all right, you're all right, kid. So interesting lesson for me. And hopefully if this is resonating with you, take a moment to be proud of yourself because shit. So more importantly, as I'm sure you all enjoyed the Ghost Adventures Joe Exotic Zoo crossover, my little heart couldn't take it, even though Zach looked a little skinny and I was a little worried for a second, but then he tweeted that he was fine. So he's fine. But to have the crossover, true crime and paranormal activity, I was just like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. So I want to know everybody's thoughts on that, because I actually thought it was great. And I enjoyed it. I was so happy for new ghost adventures. There was also some great, the Osborne like Halloween special was pretty fun, I thought. I love Halloween. I also watched Hereditary by myself because I got mental problems. And that's about it. So what else, man? Like, I'm just so excited. I wrapped on all these things. I'm excited to share them all with you. One of them I'll be able to share pretty quickly, and one of them I will not. But all good things. And I do have a spooky studio story for you. So one of the days for the film, well, several of the days, but for part of the shoot of the film that I've been working on for the past 2 weeks, we shot on some sound stages, and we were shooting at a studio really close to my house, which was very convenient for me. And of course, which is kind of classic, like film sets is like, oh, it's haunted. But this place like actually kind of gave me some vibes, and I was like, okay. So I'm talking to my wonderful, one of my wonderful co-stars. His name is Jake. I'm obsessed with him. And he's like 18 feet tall. So I'm looking at like a pretty drastic angle. I'm like looking up like, hello there, friend. And I'm looking up at him, talking to him. He's in his dressing room. I'm in my dressing room. And they were kind of like hotel rooms where they're next to each other, like very long rectangular rooms next to each other. And then there's a door in between them that connects them. So of course we're like pals. So we opened our conjoined door. That's not the word, and I feel weird about it, but you get it. So we had our dressing rooms open. So I'm looking at him, and behind him is his door that goes out to the real world. And I'm standing in the doorway of our like, you know, friend door that we opened. Is this making sense? It may not be making sense, and I'm not sorry. So I'm talking to him and I'm looking up, and as I'm looking, just because again, he's 49 feet tall, his head is literally even with the doorway of the door. And as I'm talking to him, the door, which was wide open, like 80% open, very intentionally, like not like a, like none of this shit, very intentionally, as if somebody was like, oh, I need this shut, click. I watched behind him, the door behind him shut very intentionally, not like a slam, but like, I don't know how else to say it other than just very intentionally. And my eyes got so bug-eyed, and then he saw me get bug-eyed, and then he got bug-eyed, and then he like literally jumped, like did this weird little ballet move and like ran into my dressing room. And he was like, what? And I was like, dude, I just saw your door completely shut behind you while you were talking to me. And he wouldn't go in there for the rest of the shoot that day, which I thought was pretty funny. So that was fun. It was spooky. And there were some vibes. There was a room off of one of the rooms where we had like hair and makeup set up. And it was like a weird storage room, but like a big storage room. I don't know. And it was like dark and creepy. But beyond being dark and creepy, like it was giving me some feelings. You know what I mean? Like feelings. But not like the cry kind, like the ooh, like chills on my arms. So it's so fun, because what's better than shooting a horror film on Halloween in a haunted studio? Literally nothing. I cannot stress this enough. Also, as a side note, a couple of random content recommends that are not technically going to be part of the picks of the week, but I guess I can include them because holy shit, this is my show. I do whatever I want. So weird. Who let me do this? Untamed, the book, Glennon Doyle. It kind of speaks for itself. I know it's like unbelievably famous. And to be fair, I haven't even finished it. I'm not even halfway through. But shit, there's some moments in there that I was like, oh God, like literally like gut punch city. So highly recommend. I also feel like sometimes that book can be, it has kind of like a colorful, glittery cover. It's not at all like a self-care for women. Like this is for everybody. So I don't want anybody to get, you know, caught up in fucking gender binaries. It's garbage. It's great for everybody of all kinds, all sexes and all identifications. Ooh, it's so good. Also, I realize I'm late to the party on this, which is why I'm, you know, shamefully just popping it in here. But The Boys on Amazon with what? Anthony, or is it Anthony? Anthony Starr, Carl Urban, Jack Quaid, other people. I'm not going to sit here and name the whole cast because that would be a boring show. But what a delight. I loved it. I like binged all of season one and season two in a pretty short amount of time, because like when you're shooting and you're just memorizing 8,000 pages of dialogue and like all this shit while I was signing with all these new reps, which is amazing, but also requires an exorbitant amount of paperwork, and you got to like update all the breakdowns and you got to sign all this shit. And it's like, oh my God, it's so much work. Wonderful work, but it's just a lot to be doing at the same time. You get it. So this was like the thing that I would turn on when I'm like eating or when I'm just like, if I don't stop my brain, I will start crying blood and I will slowly crawl into the garbage and wither away. I would turn this on and I just like, I really adored it. I thought season one was really great. Season two, like maybe not, I didn't love it as much as season one, but like what I'm like, I was so pissed that it was over. So again, I'm sure everybody's like, yeah, Grace, that came out like 2 years ago. And I'm like, yeah, in modern times, that's like basically 40 years ago, but hey, it's never too late. So go watch that shit. And I have, before we get into our amazing interview today with one of my absolute favorite people and one of my very good friends, Christian, he's just the best. But I have a really funny story to share. So I don't know, in case you don't know, so I have two Chihuahuas, Baxter and Ratsy, and Ratsy is 16 human years. She has a little a harder time getting around these days. So she does have a stroller, which I realize people are like, okay, you have a doggy stroller. And then I'm like, she can't walk, you asshole. And then people are like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, that's right. So she has a stroller. She's also quite cold. So she does often have a little hoodie on, you know, little skull hoodie, a little zip up hoodie. The ones with the pockets are my favorite. Ooh, so cute. So we have that situation going on. And then I'm also like, young and cute and like, so it's like, I think people, I can get like stereotyped, like, okay, like I'm an actor in LA with her puppy stroller and it's a Chihuahua in a sweater. What a surprise. So I did get a real kick out of this because this was a little on brand for the prima donna dogs that we have. So Baxter is a complete fucking maniac. He's so cute, like just so pretty, like he should be a model, but he has chosen not to pull his own weight around here. That was directed at him in case you couldn't tell. But he has like high anxiety. Don't blame me. I did not raise him. I adopted him when he was 10. He is now 15. He turned 15 in August. So we had gone to the vet because I enjoy spending $2,000 on 2 pounds of meat. And I was like, so like, can we hook him up with like a puppy anxiety thing? Because what happens is that he's so anxious is that if something like scares him or if he hears something, he'll jump. And his new thing is that he jumps off the couch, which is where he likes to live a lot of the time. And he will literally like headbutt the coffee table, which is made of metal and glass. And then he has seizures because he gets seizures from head trauma. He's not epileptic. You get it. It's due to head trauma because he hits his head. In my old house, he used to fall down the stairs. Again, I'm listening to myself and I'm realizing this is not good content, but I don't know what time is. Also, it's fucking daylight savings. I can't with a daylight savings. Like, you're telling me that 1 hour is going to make all the difference? Now I'm just confused. And then Ken changed all the clocks without telling me. So I thought we were fine. I was like, oh, it must be tomorrow night or something. And then I was like, wait, you're telling me I slept till 11? Who am I? I don't know. So anyway, doggy anxiety meds. It's very important. So I was like, you know, hook a brother up. And she was like, okay, sure. I'll call in a prescription to CVS. And I was like, oh, because most of our prescriptions are either like mailed to us from like, I don't know, the pet mail people, or we just get from the vet. So I was like, oh, like CVS, like where I get like human drugs. And she was like, yeah. And I'm not on like prescriptions really. So I mean, going to the pharmacy is pretty new to me anyway. So I was like, oh, okay. Seems weird, but all right. So I go and I pick up his prescription, which was like a whole fiasco in and of itself. And she was like, so who's it for? And I was like, Baxter. She was like, what's the last name? And I was like, Hancock. Like I was like, I don't know. And she was like, is he with you? Cause I was like in the drive thru and I was like, well, no, I mean, I guess I could have brought him. And she was like, okay, well, do I need to explain how to take him? And I was like, I'll just let him know. And then I was like, I just want to be clear. Baxter is my dog. Like, that's not a person. And she was like, oh, okay. So then it was like all this whole thing. And I was just like, this feels really, really LA. I'm like, I'm here to get Baxter's anti-anxiety meds. So I finally get it after all this. And it's fucking Xanax, friends. Like, it's just straight Xanax. Like, it's not puppy Xanax or like Chihuahua Xanax. It's just Xanax. So I just need the world to know and love me as I am, without judgment, and just know that Ratsy right now somewhere is in a sweater, in a stroller with me and a cup of coffee. And Baxter has a Xanax prescription, which he takes every morning in a piece of cheese. And yes, a cube of cheese, just like Emily Blunt from Devil Wears Prada. So I just need everyone to know that Baxter gets what we call magic cheese for breakfast every day, which is a little cube of cheddar cheese with a Xanax in it. If that's not the most motherfucking LA thing you have ever heard in your life, then you press pause on this and you rethink your life and then immediately listen to the rest of the show because it's great. So that's what's happening. If you have any funny puppy Xanax stories, spooky stories, always hit me up with those. thinkpcing@gmail.com. I love hearing from you guys. And without further ado, I'm going to go grab my friend.
Well, I mean, I can't imagine following that beautiful slurp in any other way other than you know him from Collider, The Wangers, his amazing films like Pocket Watch, Teddy, Stage 4, and of course, The Shape. He's a true auteur, if you will, and you will. And quite frankly, one of my favorite people, it's Christian Rubalcaba.
Yay! Wow. Oh my gosh, what an intro. I didn't like that. That's too much. I don't like anything that's like positive about myself. You usually got to throw in one oh, and he's loud or something, you know? Like, I told
you. Well, you are a piece of shit.
Oh, thank you. And overall, piece of shit, Christian Rubalcaba.
Like, yeah, should, yeah, yeah.
Not to tell you how to do your own show or anything, but, you know, just throw in one little, like, you know. He's the worst in there as well. I appreciate it.
Yeah. That. I mean, I appreciate the notes live on air about how you would like your intro. So next time we're going to fucking nail the shit out of it and it's going to be great.
I emailed you my writer. So I don't, and I'm not going to pretend like I knew I found out what a writer was like a year ago. So I'm, you know, just using that now.
I think everybody thought they were cool when they found out what that was because, oh shit, I'm going to feel like an idiot. Frances McDormand, when she was talking about it at the Oscars, and then everybody was like, well, what is that?
Oh, that's what she meant by inclusion. Okay. Oh my gosh. I'm just figuring it out right now. There it is.
I'm just here. We're here. It's a learning podcast. It's an educational podcast on the BTS of film and television making. Yeah. Well, I'm not cool enough for a writer.
Thank you for inviting me. I was telling Amber, my lovely significant other, this morning. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm doing Grace's podcast. She's like, oh, wow, really? She didn't have anyone else? I was like, oh. Okay.
And that's why we're obsessed with Amber, and she is the best human on earth.
I love her so much.
I love her so much too. Quite a bit more than I love you, but you know, that's neither here nor there. No, I was saying you. Thank you. Okay. We're doing good with the words. Boy. thank you so much for doing this. And it's weird because, you know, obviously you guys are so gracious. I'm on The Wangers quite a bit, but it's like, I've never had the opportunity to have you on mine. Cause I just don't do as much content creation as you guys. So it's nice to have you here. And speaking of content creation, so Christian and I were joking about, we were like, well, what the fuck are we going to talk about? Because the world is weird. And I just came off these like crazy night shoots. Literally, I wrapped yesterday at 6 a.m. So like, I don't know. I'm completely nocturnal and I have no idea who I was or am. And today I had my pants on backwards for like 3 hours. It's fine. So we were joking about doing like, how do we decide topics for content creation? And since you're somebody who puts out a shit ton of content creation, then my little wheels and my brain were turning. And then I was like, well, what if we took it a step further and talked about like creating a modern horror? Because you guys definitely skew to the horror genre. Obviously you and I love that. We work together on The Shape and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So I thought it'd be cool to see kind of like pick your brain a little bit about content creation in general, but also like where you gain inspiration, where you form these POVs for the stuff that you guys create. Because for anybody who doesn't know, you and Cody Hall and Brian Perez are The Wangers and Amateur Hour Films. And you guys write, create, edit every single possible thing for all these amazing films. So yeah. I guess my gateway question is, what was your gateway drug into horror? Like where did you guys fall into that as kind of a thematic thing for your guys' fictional videos?
I mean, I think it was more so me and Cody, cause I know Brian is sort of like he's the one that kind of understands that horror is like, I think I saw someone tweet this the other day, like horror is like 99% shitty, but then there's that 1% that's just like in that 1%, it's just like all those movies are a masterpiece. So yeah. I think he's more like Brian is more in that area. Whereas like Cody and I kind of grew up just loving horror movies in general. I can't speak on like when exactly, I'm sure we've talked about it a bunch of times, but like when Cody kind of fell in love with the genre. But for me, I was terrified of everything as a kid, not just horror movies, but you know, just even regular like, you know, like animated movies, Nightmare Before Christmas, like just a bunch of stuff just freaked me out as a kid. And I remember specifically it was Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 that was sort of the official like gateway into horror, because I had always known like Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers, probably just through pop culture, because just at that point, like, you know, they're 7 or 8 movies deep and they're just kind of in the zeitgeist. And I was always just terrified of like Freddy the most. And one night I was over at a friend's house for a sleepover, and his mom rented Nightmare on Elm Street. And I was like, oh, okay. And like, I was there with a bunch of friends, and I didn't want to be a pussy, and I didn't want to be like, oh, no, and start crying, because I was a big crybaby as a kid. So I was like, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, Freddy, that's great. Let's watch it. And then we start watching the movie, and it's not the original Nightmare on Elm Street. It's Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge. And as I'm watching this, we're kind of laughing at a lot of the stuff that's happening. And it sort of made me realize, oh, horror doesn't always have to be super scary. I think specifically with like Nightmare on Elm Street, because there's like a fantastical realm with all those movies that I was like, oh, wow, this is not what I was expecting. And so from that, I sort of slowly like dipping my toe into that world and watching a lot of the sequels of all those slasher movies and just having fun with it, eventually making my way to the scariness of like the Blair Witch Project or The Exorcist or the original Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street. So that's how it kind of like started and just kind of opened my brain to all this goodiness. And I'm so glad that I sucked it up and ended up watching that movie, because it kind of made me who I am today.
So peer pressure made you a better person is what you're saying.
Exactly. I didn't do drugs in middle school or high school, but I watched a shit ton of horror movies, and that's the peer pressure that I'm all for.
Horror movies are my drug. Well, and then when did that transfer over to you're no longer that big of a crybaby? You're still a crybaby, but you know, you've improved. And then when did it cross over that you were like, okay, I'm going to create this. Like, not only do I enjoy watching this as an audience member, but now I want to flip it around and be somebody who creates this for other audience members.
Yeah. That came more so in middle school, because that's when I started writing a lot. I didn't actually get into quote unquote film making until I was in college. But in middle school, I was obsessed with like real scary stories to tell in the dark. I loved like Cirque du Freak. I wasn't so much into Harry Potter as much. I got into that later because of Amber. So thank you, Amber, for that. So like Cirque du Freak and a bunch of different horror books. God, there was this one author, I can't remember his name, but he had this one book called The Great Reef, or it had something to do with what is it called?
Like it's the Great Barrier Reef?
Yes. Yeah. And there's like a creature down there. And I was like, whoa,
I
really, really like this. And then at the same time, I was also super into Lost and Stephen King. I started getting into Stephen King a lot as well. And so that sort of got me interested in writing just fiction. Because when I was in elementary school, I wrote a lot of fiction, like silly dinosaur stories, because I was obsessed with dinosaurs. And I would write these little stories, and my friend would do the artwork for it. And we put these little pamphlets together and make like our own little books. And we would we'd try to read it out loud to the class. And then that eventually carried over to me writing short stories. And we even had a project in eighth grade where we had to basically write like a short story, but it was going to be printed and whatnot. So like, I was very much obsessed with that. And my thing was, because I was so obsessed with like slashers, but also like ghost stories as well, I would always write short stories and put myself and all of my friends in it. And then I would pick us off one by one. And, I remember specifically I went on a field trip in seventh grade to Catalina. And this doesn't make any sense, but like La Llorona, like I was obsessed with her as a kid too, the witch from the story was like we're going to the seventh grade science camp, but La Llorona was there to haunt us and kill us one by one. So I would like write a story about me and my friends going, and we all get picked off like one by one. So that's kind of where it all originated, was because before I even thought about like making movies. I wanted to write books and novels and like, you know, I had only written like, read one or two books from Stephen King. But once I really dived deep into Stephen King in like high school, then it was just like, okay, I want to be a writer. That was like my goal. And then I realized that I suck at writing. So I was like, okay, I'm going to edit videos. And I'm like, okay, I'm okay at that.
What's like your favorite part of it then? Like if you're like best case scenario, you have all the budget, all the talent, obviously. like what do you, would you want to be the writer or do you want to be the director? Do you want to be the editor? Like what is your number one favorite part of it?
I honestly, my favorite part is the editing. I think like if I had an order of operations, it would be editing, directing. I would even put producing over writing. But there's something about writing, directing, editing, kind of like just, you know, like not necessarily like a one man show, but kind of creating the idea and then shooting it and seeing it through and then editing it, kind of putting all your final touches on it. There's something really cool about that. But I also really love the collaboration. Like I've always loved that Cody was kind of like our main writer for all of our shorts and sketches. And then we just collaborate when we're either on set or if we're talking about the script and coming up with different ideas, because he's super flexible. He's never like, no, this is my script. It has to be like that. You know, it's always kind of like a blueprint for what we're trying to do. And I've always like appreciated that. And, so yeah, it's like a mixed balance, on some things, you know, if I just come up with an idea and I really want to shoot it, then yeah, that's cool. But also, you know, I love taking somebody else's thing that they created and trying to bring it to life. I think it's a little bit more challenging to do it that way.
Yeah. I feel like you guys are like a three man M. Night Shyamalan, like you're all doing everything, but it's like a great team effort. Like,
yeah. I mean, that was like the biggest takeaway that is the biggest takeaway, because I love not just collaborating with the three of us, but, our friend Remsen Allard, who is a great DP. We brought him along to do a couple of our stuff. And then our friend Alex Marzonia, who's a great musician, we have him do a lot of our scores. So it's like, and RB3, I like having him on set and shooting with us.
Yeah.
Not only because, they're incredibly talented at what they do. And I love the fact that we kind of have our own little team, but they're also just great people. And shooting with them, you know, whether it's from like, what was it, like 7 o'clock at night to 3 or 4 in the morning for stage 4, and we're just losing our fucking minds. But it's the fact that we're losing our minds with them. It makes it so much more fun. Or, you know, if we're shooting Teddy, and we shot it on 420, and a bunch of crazy, stupid stoner kids in Santa Clarita are kind of interrupting our shoots, we're having a huge laugh about it, you know. At the end of the day, none of us are really taking it that serious. We're taking it serious in the sense that we want to shoot what we want to shoot and get it done. But we're not, you know. You said auteur person in that intro. I'm like, I like to fuck around, you know. I'm not bougie or anything like that. You know, we just, we like what we want to make and we just like having fun doing it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it super shows seeing everything, and it also shows working on everything, like having just like that fun, collaborative vibe, but also just like that team that has like the shorthand and everybody knows everybody. It's not like, hey, how are you? I'm Grace. It's really nice to meet you. What part of town do you live in? And you're just like, I'm tired. Like, it's nice to just walk on a set and be like, hi, I know all of you and this is great.
Yeah.
How do you guys, or maybe this, you know, it might be more of a question for Cody. And here he is, Cody
Hoffman. Cody, hey! Hey guys, how you doing?
But like, how do you guys hone in on like the specific story or POV? Like, what's the moment like for you or for all three of you that's like, oh, that's my story. Like, oh, we're fucking like, okay, this is what it is. It's going to be one shot. It's the end of the world. That's what we're doing. Or like, okay, pocket watches. They're fucking creepy. Let's do a thing about it. Like, what's that moment like for you and or you guys?
Yeah, it definitely depends on the project. With Pocket Watch in particular, that was a short film that I shot in quarantine. And that was just like, oh, I'm home all day. I'm not doing anything. I have equipment. Let me try to come up with an idea and shoot it. And that's kind of what it was. I've had that Pocket Watch, and I actually have like two Pocket Watches, because when me and Cody were back in the day, like long, like years ago, when we were saying, let's shoot short films, I think I bought those as props for short film that he wrote that I thought would be cool. And then we just never ended up shooting it. And I was literally just rummaging around in one of my storage boxes. And I was like, oh, cool. I still have this pocket watch. I wonder if I can do something interesting. And, you know, a tiny little idea like that could just goes a long way. And like, also during quarantine, I got obsessed with this with, do you know what geocaching is?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got obsessed with it. For anybody who doesn't know, it's like a worldwide scavenger hunt. You go to different places via like GPS and you find these locations. And in these locations, like it could be like an electrical box. I've seen one where like it was a brick wall and someone made a fake brick. And then inside you find these little boxes that have like, you know, trinkets and items and you log in your name and whatnot. And so my idea for Pocket Watch originally was like, okay, so this nerdy kid is obsessed with geocaching and he finds one of these caches and inside is this cool pocket watch. But, you know, the pocket watch is in there for a reason because somebody else left it behind. So something's haunting it. And then that sort of snowballed into what Pocket Watch eventually ended up being. So it's like that example. And then it's either that, like we come up with something on the spot, or it's like, oh, Cody's had this script for years. He wants to shoot it. And he tells me about it. I'm like, holy shit, we could totally shoot that. Boom, let's do it. I think for a lot of the stuff that we've made, it was like, okay, what can we do? Because we're always kind of hard on ourselves on what we're capable of doing. But I think over the years, as we've sort of gotten better with our own craft, we've become a little bit more confident. So now it's just a matter of like, you know, we've talked about this before. We were going to shoot a short film with you, Grace, before the quarantine actually happened. And that was something that Cody had written and he had been sitting on for a while. It's usually, I guess in all, like that's usually what it comes down to. It's like, if Cody has a cool idea, they'd be like, fuck yeah, let's shoot it. We'll kind of just go from there. You know, we've never actually, like, sketches are one thing. That's, you know, we've literally come up with a sketch recently on a podcast and then we shot it. And so things like that will vary. I guess just in the end, it kind of varies from project to project. We've never actually like come together and be like, let's come up with a short film based off of this. And then let's do that. At least I don't think so. Everything that we've shot so far was like, oh, this is a pre-existing idea. Let's do it again. What I'd love to do, you know, time pending and, you know, budget and whatnot, is to just the three of us come up with an idea together and sort of slowly develop that into something. I mean, we kind of have some, we've had a web series idea in mind for the longest time, a couple of web series ideas that we've all sort of helped create and whatnot. But it's just, again, it's just a matter of time of when we can actually create that, you know?
That's super interesting. Where do you go? Where do you go for like inspiration when you're like working on a million projects and you're like tired as fuck and like worn out? Like, I don't know, this week or any week of this year, like do you watch a film and you're like, oh fuck yeah. Or is there like a show? Like, will you watch a show or will you read a book or will you just like, where do you go to like refill like the creative well for like all of the stuff that you guys do? Cause you also do all this comedy, the Dove sketch that is fucking amazing. And like Robbie and like all this amazing, like funny stuff. So it's like, you really are constantly creating and all this content and like, it's not just sketches, but it's also shorts. And then it's obvious. And then like your weekly show and then your commentaries.
Yeah.
So like, keeping up with all that is intense. It's a lot of work. Where do you go to like refill the cup?
I get little spurts of inspiration when I watch various movies. I think the biggest thing for me, it's also sort of like my own therapy is when I go running. I will just occasionally go for like a 2-mile run. I try to go every single day, but you know, I'm a fat piece of shit, so it doesn't always turn out that way. But when I do go running, that is sort of when I'm cleansing my body, if you will, not just of like sweat and filth and disgust, but more so just like, I'm like kind of clearing my mind. I'm putting on music. It could be like the heaviest of heavy metals, or it could be a John Carpenter score. And I'm just running through the neighborhood and sort of just like letting my mind wander. You know, my eyes, I like observing everything around me no matter what I'm doing. And when I'm running, there's so much to look at, so much to observe. And, you know, I could look at a house and think like, oh, hey, this would be cool. And then that turns into an idea. Or if I'm stuck, like I've been writing a feature all during the quarantine, and I've had multiple, there have been multiple times where I stop and I'm like, fuck, this sucks. I can't do it anymore. Where I would just clear my mind and stop thinking about it. And then all of a sudden something pops in my head and I'm like, oh, hey, that's an easy fix. Boom. Okay. And then I kind of keep going there. So it's like me running is literally just kind of recharging my batteries. It's also that, but it's also, it's going to be very feminine, you know, and I'm totally cool with that because I like to be in touch with my feminine side, Grace. I like taking baths. And sometimes it's a literal cleanse because I'm just sweating my ass off in this nice little, sometimes I get bubbles. Sometimes I put some bubbles in there if I have enough, you know, soap and whatnot. But I like taking baths and I like just kind of soaking in it and kind of just being to myself and sort of just like muting the entire world and just keeping to myself. And because it's hard, it's not like we do like, you know, so much content where it's stressing me out every single day. But when you constantly want to make stuff, it makes it a little bit harder to actually like stop, you know, playing a video game or stop watching The Office for the thousandth time and actually just fucking open up your computer and just start doing it, because it might suck when you start it, but you know, at least you're starting it, because then you can eventually make it better. And that's something that I've kind of had to learn over the years, especially writing my own thing. Like I'm not gonna, the first draft I write is always gonna suck, or the first pass of editing is always gonna suck. I think that's like an important thing that we always tell ourselves, because from that one thing we can make it into something better. And so I think it's important for people to kind of clear their minds in any way that they can, and running is definitely a way to, you know, keep my juices flowing.
Oh, I love that. No, first of all, I believe that baths are completely asexual. So you're just in touch with your self-care side, which I adore.
Fuck yeah. But I'm
the same fucking way actually with baths and running, because we have in our house, in our like garage, is like the gym. Mm-hmm. And like when I go in there, like Ken always jokes that I'll always be like, okay, I'm just going to go for a quick run because I'm a woman and I don't want to die. So I have a treadmill. So I will go in there and I'll always be like, okay, just doing it quick. But I almost inevitably will be in there at least 90 minutes. Mm. Because that is like, and same with dance. Obviously that's a little bit different because like, yeah, I can't go to a ballet class right now. I have like virtual stuff, but it's not super the same for me. Mm-hmm. But it's very much like that is like my church. That's like, mm-hmm, my happy place. I'm like, if he comes in, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, mm-hmm, I like so my zone to do the exact same thing and like recharge anything, yeah, everything, and like listen to that like insane like metal and like Hans Zimmer shit. And I'm just like running, like, mm-hmm, I'm in the movie. And same with bat. So I totally get that. And it's important, mm-hmm, for, you know, I think so much the creative side and like intellectual side and emotional side, like all that like inner stuff is so informed by the outer stuff. Yeah. So like taking care of both of those things is super important. So I'm very happy you said that and shared that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, definitely. And I think it's important for anybody that's creative, because unless you're like fucking the greatest writer of all, if you're like Aaron Sorkin, then you can just shit stuff out and it's cool, you know. And that's there's not many people that are like that. So yeah.
I know, totally. I'm like, fuck those people. As I'm over here, like, suffering every second.
Yeah. Those are the assholes that never had to study for tests that they just show up and pass. It's like, no, I studied for 8 hours the night before and lost sleep. And I still got a C. Yeah.
I know. Fuck you, Chad and student council. Well, and then bringing it back to horror, I feel like, mm-hmm, so much of the horror genre has changed, mm-hmm, really drastically. Honestly, I think, and I'm not like a student of film by any means, like it's, mm-hmm, not even necessarily my first passion as an actor, but I think Jordan Peele has really been the impetus for a lot of these changes. But yeah, what do you think And we'll bring that back in a second. But what do you think is like misunderstood about horror? Because I get frustrated because I think what some people don't know, and I was literally just talking about this yesterday with my sister and with Ken and with my brother-in-law, because all three of them, my brother-in-law a little bit, but the rest of them, they're kind of like, nobody really wants to watch a scary movie with me. Like I'm the one watching us alone on the couch, like a sociopath, because Ken's not interested. She's not interested. And that's kind of been my quarantine pod. So it's mostly the only human I've seen this year. Yeah. So, but it's frustrating because I was trying to explain to my sister Dawn, like how fucking epic Hereditary is. And it's like, well, yes, it's a horror film, but like you, there's so much art to be appreciated. Like, and I wish that I could share the artistic side with people who are like, oh, I don't like scary movies. And it's like, yeah. No, like it's okay. It's scary, but it's so great. Like The Witch is the most fucking perfect thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. And I know three people who've seen it because people are like, no, that's spooky, Satan. Mm-hmm. No. So what do you think is most misunderstood about horror?
Well, it's funny that you bring up Hereditary and The Witch, because I know a lot of people that saw those movies and didn't think they were scary at all. You know, like I've heard of people like laughing at The Witch in particular scenes that are supposed to be horrifying. And so I think that goes into just like the horror genre in general. I think it's definitely a mixed bag. Like it's my favorite genre, but it's not all perfect. And even the stuff that is terrible is still kind of fun. And I think that's the misconception about horror movies, is that they're all, you know, bloody and gory, that they're only meant for people to die. And, you know, they can be, I think it has something to do with it, that genre being incredibly nihilistic at times. And there's just something about that that is, it's honestly on the same level as comedy, and which is frustrating because horror and comedy are so hand in hand. And it's also the same, like, but what I said earlier, like 99% of it is shitty, and that there's that 1% that's great. And I think that's also similar with comedy, but people are more prone to want to watch comedies because they're a little bit more feel good, you know, like they'll go see Hangover Part 3 500 times over than they would go see Hereditary, you know? And it's like, you know, not to like say like one is, you know, higher art than the other, but like you can clearly see like a difference in like, you know, how you were saying Hereditary is so great. Like there's some class and you know, real thought going into it, as opposed to just being a straight horror movie, you know? Whereas it's like Hangover 3, nothing against that movie, I'm just using an example. Like that's a third movie in a franchise. And maybe that's the same thing for horror movies. You know, they see Saw 8 and they're like, ugh, really another one? And I think that's honestly not even the audience, the people watching these things fall. I mean, maybe technically it is because they're paying for it and they're making all this money and stuff, or they're helping the movies make all this money. But it's also the studios, you know, they release one horror movie on a tiny, tiny little budget and makes a bajillion dollars at the box office. And they're like, boom, we got our next franchise, you know? And I think that's cool, because I like a lot of the sequels and I like a lot of the world building and franchise for some of those, but I will take a one-shot movie over a franchise any day. Like, I don't want to see a Witch 2. I don't want to see a Witch 3. You don't need it. It's not necessary, you know? And right. You probably won't get that because nobody saw that movie, but it's that idea is like, not everything. And I guess this is for all movies now, because everything has to be in a cinematic universe, or it has to be a superhero movie, that just, I think, just production companies and just movie studios in general just want to find that next insert popular sub or genre movie here, you know, like Blair Witch Project was like an anomaly, you know, but a shit ton of found footage movies didn't necessarily come out after that. It wasn't until Paranormal Activity. And then, you know, that's like, oh, boom, here's our thing. And the problem with that is that they flood you with all these similar types of movies that it's just like the same shit over and over. And that could be tiresome for a lot of people, you know, and it's the same thing with like superhero movies too. So I just wish people would give them a shot a lot more. But, you know, people don't want to feel the things that horror movies make you feel, you know? And so I could see why people would rather see a comedy over a horror movie. I don't get it, but you know.
Do you think that like the horror thing is for people who love horror, do you think, or maybe just for you, is it like the adrenaline thing? Like, do you like being scared?
I definitely think, I don't really get scared that much anymore, to be honest. It's like here and there. I mean, honestly, the last movie I saw in theaters was The Invisible Man, and that was like in February or March. So at this point, it almost feels like I don't remember what it feels like to be in a movie theater or to be like kind of shocked or genuinely kind of terrified. But it, that is definitely something that I love. And if anything, it makes me more of a snob of horror movies because I'm specifically looking for that more so than the false scare, you know? Right. I think audience members, that's a little bit tricky because if they're just a casual movie fan and they just like going to movies and they're going to go see, I'll use an example, nothing against this movie, but like The Curse of La Llorona, because Amber and I were watching that the other day. Mm-hmm. They hear like La Llorona, I'm trying to do it the white way. they like see that and like, cool, let's go see it. It's scary. It's a witch. And then when you watch it, it's kind of everything that you're expecting to see in a regular horror movie. And I think a lot of audience members have sort of gotten used to that. So that way, when you see a movie like La Llorona, but then you see a movie like Hereditary, they're going to have a different reception for both movies because one movie is in your face, jump scares left and right, whereas Hereditary is more subdued than that. And it's a lot smarter with its scares because it's focusing on the drama of the family and the story as opposed to just throwing the witch in your face every 10 minutes, you know? I have always just with horror movies, I mean, granted, I love all the slashers and I love a good gore fest, but the best thing about horror movies, that 1% of like the masterpiece of all movies, it always has to have a good story. And I should care about the characters because if you can accomplish that in a horror movie, then it's just like everything that I ever wanted. Like a perfect example is The Exorcist, which sometimes I don't even consider that a horror movie because it focuses so much more on the drama between Reagan and her mother and the priests that it almost at times doesn't even feel like a horror movie. It's a drama. And then the demons kind of insert themselves. And then, oh, all of a sudden we have like a demonic possession story in here as well, you know? Right. And so that's something that I look for more in horror movies as opposed to maybe what like a casual viewer would want to see from a horror movie, you know? And again, it's just like, it's a mixed bag for just horror movies in general, especially nowadays, you know? But yeah.
I think there's a lot more room for like nuance in horror that I think maybe people don't realize. I think they don't realize how like fucking funny they can be or like how like the family drama aspect, which again, like Hereditary has that in spades, like a lot of other things other than just like blood and gore and people dying, which is in some of them. I don't love those. Like I don't like the Saw films at all. Right. Like, not my jam. I can appreciate like the first one just for like the new idea as fucked up as it is, but I'm not like, that's not something I'm going to like tune into, especially because again, I have to watch things alone on the couch. I watched Midsommar and was like not the same for 2 weeks. So I have to like pick and choose. But what are some, and they don't necessarily have to be recent. What are some of your top film recommendations and television recommendations of like excellent projects that you've seen recently or not recently?
Well, let me pull up my letterbox. You can follow me on letterbox at Chris Rue. That's an inside joke from if anybody from the Wanger Show is listening, they'll have a good laugh. If anybody else doesn't know that, then I just sound like a fucking snobby douchebag. I have after the 2010s wrapped up and we enter the new millennia, that is the 2020s. I put together a top 15 horror films of the 2010s specifically. Oh. And these are basically just like my favorite movies, obviously, that have come out from 2010 to 2019. My number one being The Witch. That's hands down my favorite horror movie, I think, not just in the past 10 years, but, you know, I think with more time, that's going to be one of my favorites of all time up there with The Blair Witch Project. There's a theme here. I love witch movies. So that's definitely one. Annihilation is another one too. That's more in the sci-fi genre, but I love the Annihilation. The Babadook is fantastic. I'll just list them off. Split, Cabin in the Woods, It Follows. This is one that not a lot of people know. It's called The Den. It's a really, really good found footage movie. It's basically Unfriended before Unfriended happened. This movie capitalized on the like window capture, like subgenre of found footage before Unfriended came out. And I think Unfriended kind of made it more popular, because then you get movies like recently Host on Shudder. And then what's the one with John Cho? Searching.
Yeah.
So fantastic movie. Hereditary is up there. Scream 4. Love Scream 4. Wes Craven's last movie, RIP. The Monster is a fantastic movie. Same director of The Strangers. And it's about... Grace, have you ever seen this movie?
No.
I think you would dig this one. It's called The Monster. It's about a... It's about a mother and daughter, like a very, she's a terrible mother. She's like a young mother, and she's basically taking her daughter to the dad to basically live with him forever. And it's kind of like her dumping her daughter because she's got too many fucking problems with herself. And then along the way, they get stuck in the middle of the road and get attacked by a monster. It's great. It's fantastic. 10 Cloverfield Lane, Gerald's Game, Creep with Mark Duplass. Is a fantastic found footage movie. And then The Conjuring, obviously, and then You're Next. You're Next is a great one too.
Yeah.
So all those ones.
That's a solid list. You're a nerd.
Yeah, I'm a nerd. Specifically like in 2015, maybe even 2016, there was a lot of really good horror movies that were just like straight to Netflix or kind of just like little gems that I found here and there, but I like to, especially this year. This year has a lot of really, really good horror movies that I've seen at the start of the year, and then like even this past weekend, I watched some really, really good stuff. So like, and I think that's where I kind of go towards now. Like, I'm as much as I love the movie going experience in the theater. I think like horror movies are really, really booming with streaming. And I'm totally cool with that because it's giving all these artists a platform to release their stuff and to keep making stuff as well. Like Mike Flanagan is the absolute best right now. And you mentioned TV shows. The Haunting of Hill House is one of the best television shows. It's the best horror television show that I think I've ever seen.
100%.
He created Bly Manor. I know we talked about it on Wangers. You didn't care for it as much, but I finished it all the way through. It's really, really good. I ended up crying in like the last 20 minutes straight, just like nonstop fucking tears. But
now I'll watch it.
Yes. Oh my God. It's like, it's on the level of like, I can never go back and watch Toy Story 3 because I cry at the last like 5 minutes of that movie and I will always cry. So it'll be like the same thing in Bly Manor. But Mike Flanagan is a perfect example of like a filmmaker working today who started off so super small. And he's very inspirational to me because he not only directs his own movies, he writes his own movies, but he also edits all of his movies. And he did Gerald's Game. He did Hush. These are both movies for Netflix. He did Oculus, was like a big one for him.
Oh, that's right.
And then like all of these movies that he did, and then he does one of the his biggest movie, Dr. Sleep, which is fucking amazing, but no one has seen it. Nobody fucking watched that movie. And it's frustrating because it's like, I guess at the end of the day, it's like, how do you market that movie, a movie called Dr. Sleep, when it's supposed to be a Shining sequel? But like my hat's off to like Warner Brothers for trusting him and doing this. And then even keeping the title, like I'm so shocked that they didn't just call it The Shining or The Shining 2, because that's how a lot of movies market them these days, just based off of the IP, the original just title and whatnot. So, anything Mike Flanagan does, it's like I'm instantly there. It doesn't matter what he's doing. He's a huge inspiration for me. I like a lot of the smaller horror movies than, you know, I love the Conjuring movies, but, you know, I would prefer the smaller scale ones that you can find on streaming services and whatnot.
Right. I feel like you gave me so many good movies to watch too, because I just wrapped on on my horror film that I was shooting. And so I was watching more.
Oh, thank you. I just had to find a way to weave it into the conversation.
I know. I saw your photos. I was like, oh, we need to get you covered in more blood.
I know. I actually, for this last one too, I was really disappointed with the lack of blood because I told them, I was like, I want to have to shower like before I get in my car. But then it just worked for my character's journey. So yeah, for our next thing, like just, I want a full care. I need you to write me a full Carrie scene. I don't care how it happened.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
If we're going to get messy, I want to get messy. You know what I mean?
Well, I wrote one over the quarantine. It's like a zombie, short that was basically like a proof of concept for a feature, and that one was like super fucking gory, but you know, that's just something that I've always wanted us to kind of dive into because we haven't done too much blood stuff in our short films. That I would love to just make like a straight up, not like a torture porny kind of thing, but you know, like a classy sort of gore. You know,
like a classy softcore porn horror shoot.
Yeah. Amber always tells me, she's like, can you put me in one of your shorts and just kill me? But like, she wants to like die a violent, bloody death and screaming where blood's just going all over the place. I was like, oh, geez.
No, okay. That's exactly correct. I respect her and love her even more. Have her be like the cold open that like sets the tone for the rest of it. Like she's like, Grace, like, do you want another wine spritzer? And I'm like, yeah, girl. And she like walks down the hallway in her lingerie and gets murdered. I mean, look.
Chainsaw comes out.
I already have a whole vision.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, then I guess my last question for you is, what do you think, and you may have already answered this, what do you think is like the future of horror? Because I feel like we've seen like just a real switch in the kind of more like heady intellectual stuff. And maybe it's just because I wasn't exposed to that like before I felt like the switch was happening. Again, I'm not like over here with my glasses like, well, and then in 1994, that's my perception. So what do you think is going to be the future? Do you think that like the franchises are going to kind of like fizzle out? Do you think that's always going to be the case? Do you think it's going to be more of like these indie projects? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's so hard to think of just where movies in general are going to be now after the pandemic and everything that's happening. But to put that on hold, kind of, and optimistically imagining that next year will be better and movie theaters will be open when they are safe, because I know some are open right now. But I think no matter what, the franchises are going to come and go. Like, you know, we're seeing successful stuff with Halloween. It did really, really well, and they shot two more sequels. It's only a matter of time until we see a Friday the 13th and a new Nightmare on Elm Street movie, and those will come back. I think those will thrive as long as the right people are behind them. I think it's going to be fine. But you brought up Jordan Peele, who's doing really, really interesting stuff, and I think part of the future are, and you know what? I think this even starts. This might even start around the same time or maybe even a little bit before Jordan Peele, but like when Danny McBride came on to write Halloween, the newest one, the 2018 one, you know, that's like, wait a minute, we're getting some interesting people writing stuff, not just like a hired director to do these like big property movies. No, these are comedians. Like comedians are starting to dive into horror. Like the new Saw movie that was supposed to come out this year with Chris Rock, like he came up with the story for the new Saw movie.
Oh, wow.
And that I'm like, wow, that's so fucking fascinating. I love that because I think comedians are great actors, but I think they, because of their job, I think they're so perfect to come up with more creative and interesting and horror stories, you know? And Jordan Peele in particular, I think, you know, based off of his experiences in life are going to be completely different than anybody else. So that's already a brand new perspective, you know, and I think that just the future is more so in line with that and getting people that are, I think this is the biggest thing is just getting people that genuinely love the property, because I think when like horror movies back in the day, like the heyday of horror was like the 80s. Like that was the greatest time. It started creeping in around the 70s, but like a lot of directors would probably take on a horror movie because that was like their gateway into making more film. And they were so cheap to make. And maybe not even, you know, maybe a lot of these directors didn't even really like horror, but they did it just for you know, their chance to get at future projects. And now if we're getting people that genuinely love the genre and have been fans of the genre, or if they're taking on an IP that they grew up on, then that is so that's just going to make the movie that much better. And that very much excites me, because when I hear people like Chris Rock, like doing a Saw movie, I'm like, fuck, that's weird and different. But I mean, we've seen Jason Voorhees go to space. So fuck it. Let's see that shit, you know? Like I just want, and I think we're getting this too. There's just a much more appreciation towards horror films, even though there is still the stigma behind it that, you know, all horror is the same. But you know, even someone like Jason Blum from Blumhouse, like
right.
they have a lot of movies that I'm not a fan of, but they also obviously very much care about the stuff that they're doing. And I love that. I love that. I love that they genuinely care about these genre movies, you know, and I hope it just keeps going with that. I'm definitely going to look forward to the more independent movies, because as like an independent creator myself, like I think that's where I would want to stay. But you know, when you get someone like Mike Flanagan, who started off so small doing these giant movies, then that's fucking cool. James Wan's the same thing. You know, he started with Saw, and now he does like Aquaman, which is fucking weird, but you know, it's like, good on him for starting off so small and then getting these, you know, eventual big projects, you know? So, yeah, I just want people to care about horror movies. You know, I will never force horror onto anybody. Oh, maybe except Amber. I try to get her to watch everything, but she'll either say no, she's too afraid, or she'll fall asleep. So kind of a lose-lose there. But, yeah, I would never like force. So I would always just be like, oh, you should really check this out. I think you would actually like this. And if they don't, then, you know, well, fuck me then.
Oh, I mean, 100% sure. And it's fun too, as an actor too, because there's all these shows like Servant on Apple TV, or mm-hmm. Ratchet, or Haunting of Hill House, like mm-hmm. so much more, or Castle Rock. Like that's super fucking fun from my perspective too, because I feel like that's also sort of new, that like horror is coming into more like mainstream television. So it's yeah. like, I get to do TV and horror. Like, yes,
definitely. Please.
I mean, this is incredibly informative. Like, I feel like I've learned so much. Like, you really are a nerd, and I kind of want you to forward me that list. So,
oh yeah, yeah. If anybody else wants to see that list, go to Letterboxd, Christian Ruby. You can find me there and my reviews.
This was so fucking awesome. We're not done with you, but where can the good people Ooh. Find you and all of your most recent wonderful work? Like, anything specific yeah. you want to plug? I know you just released some stuff today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys can find, I'm on Twitter at Christian Ruby. And you can follow me there. I just like to tweet funny stuff and occasionally retweet a political thing here and there. I'm not too crazy with it. You can also find the YouTube channel that I do stuff on, Amateur Hour Films. That's where we do our podcast, The Wanger Show, every single Monday. And we release sketches and short films whenever we get a chance. We just released a brand new sketch this past weekend. It's really fun. Very simple, shot safely, all from home, basically. And we're working on hopefully working on some more projects soon, because I really do miss shooting stuff. You know, I want to make more short films. I want to, you know, get to a point where it's like, hey, when can we shoot a feature? You know, like I want to get closer and closer to that. And it's just, you know, it's going to take time, but you know, when we get there, it's going to be great.
Oh, for sure. And you're so close. And actually this kind of is an interesting segue, because as a closer, as you know, I do a little mini tarot poll for my mm-hmm. guests. So I have done one for you, and it's very interesting because I have to shift because my butt hurts. Hold on. it was a very like, so I only do a 3-card pull for these, because it's like, I'm not going to make you sit here for like 30 minutes and also like good time. Sometimes I'll do like a body, mind, and spirit pull, because like each card is supposed to be like indicative of something, or like some people will do like past, present, future. But for whatever reason, probably because I'm delirious and don't know what time it is, and I'm like very, my biological clock is very confused. Mm-hmm. And then it was fucking daylight savings today, and I was like, yeah. I don't know, I just need to, I
got dark at like 3:00. Yeah.
And I was just like, what? But what I did for you intention wise when I did this poll is that I just thought with the intention of, what does Christian need to hear today? So it's kind of broad, but also kind of specific, but it's not, I didn't specifically pull each card to represent anything different. I just like sent out to the universe, what do you need to hear today? So this
is okay.
I'm going to get a sip of water. It's going to be very exciting. Oh, that is refreshing. So your first card was you got the reversed 10 of Pentacles. So if you're not super familiar with tarot, which I know you're probably not, it's the one that's the, it's like the pentagrams with a circle around it. That's the pentacle suite.
Yes.
And so this one is really, it's very indicative of like finances, property, like stuff that's about like security, like earth stuff like bills and like your house and your car, mm-hmm. like that kind of stuff. And it's reversed, which a lot of people are like, oh no, it's reversed. That's not at all. Like being inverted is not a bad thing. So mm-hmm. what I felt like this meant for you is because this feels very much like you're on the cusp of a different financial situation. And that doesn't mean that the one you're in now is like shitty. It's just, you're right on the cusp of something different. Like maybe that might be a job or, you know, a new gig or something. I don't know, but I feel like there's been some frustration getting there on your part, but you're very close. Like it just might be something like a completely different path. Or like, I feel like there's probably a decision that you're about to make or are making.
Holy
but
shit. It's
very positive. Like you might have a new opportunity that's come up, but it seems really random, but mm-hmm. but like, don't be afraid to try new things. It's definitely positive and you just need to make those decisions to move into that next thing. And it felt like this also might be indicative of like, you're really wanting to stabilize in that area. And especially I felt like this, there was some like familial stuff with this, meaning like your family, like you might be wanting to support your family or even just like spoil them with gifts. Like you want to be able to be a financial support to someone in the family or something like that. I felt vibes of that. And then it's the 10 of Pentacles, which is very indicative of completion, but then it's inverted. So it sort of is, it's like you're so close is like the vibe that I got. It's like,
dang.
You're not quite in this spot, but you're very, very close.
Yeah, that's a little freaky. That's a little spot on. Holy shit. Yeah, no, that's definitely, I especially recently because this year was, I don't know if like I need to explain that like yes or no, what you were.
No. You only need to comment as wherever you're comfortable.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
I feel like you need to like, you know, share anything that you don't want to, but that's the vibe that I got from that.
No, I mean, that is definitely spot on. I mean, you know, for the longest time, it was kind of scary during the quarantine because, you know, no one was hiring and I was trying for a very long time to find some gigs. But then there was a point like all within like a week where I got a bunch of stuff kind of like dumped on me, like left and right. And it's all stuff that I wasn't necessarily like, oh, this is what I'm going to do like forever kind of thing. But you're kind of there. It's like on the cusp, but it's like, wow, okay. All this stuff is coming in. It's great opportunities. And there is one possible gig that I might do. That's also, it is random, but it's also like, do I want to do this? I don't know. I don't know if I want to commit all the way, but I still want to do it somehow. So very interesting that you bring that up.
That is really interesting. Look, I'm not trying to like toot my own horn, but like I'm a little bit talented. I think we're going to really like this like contextually, like when we're done too. I think whatever that decision is will make more sense with these other cards too. Because your second one, you got the reversed 9 of Wands. So this is funny because we got a 10 and now I got a 9, which is not terribly dissimilar. It's also inverted and the Wands suit is super like, it's a very masculine. It's about like your career, your projection, like your passions, what's your next move? Like it's a very assertive suit. So it's all that kind of stuff. So again, it's totally in line with like work stuff, career stuff. So it's very, it goes very much in hand with the first card. And I felt like, again, like the vibe I got from this isn't, there has been a lot of like that frustration. And I think this card is really letting you know to let go of that, but also additionally to let go of anything that's no longer serving you or feeding you. Like this is very much a closing of a chapter card and it's okay. Even if it feels scary and weird, like it's still okay. And this card is very much reminding you to use like wisdom as you move into this new season and just know that you're being this new thing that you're moving into. And it's not necessarily like one specific job, just this new season of life, like everything that you're doing. You've really earned the recognition and the respect for your work. So you're kind of being like promoted in a way, like you're moving into a new phase where you're being, it's not like, like people know your work and that's why they're coming to you. So it's like, it's a new chapter that you've earned is maybe the words that I'm trying to find.
Well, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Yes. 2 for 2. Yeah, no, that's definitely kind of, that's, spot on because we've done a couple streams here and there for Riley and Ken. We helped out a stream with Ellis. And some people like reached out and they're like, hey, we hear you do streams. You want to help us out? And I'm like, oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, shit. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. And that's something that we're trying to explore a lot more, too. So, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Spooky. And then the last card, which is so exciting. So the last card you got is the upright 9 of pentacles. So again, you only got pentacles and wands, which is like all money and work. So it's very much like we're living in that world. And then you got a 9. So you got 10, you got what? 10, 9, 9. So it's all really, so we're really in like the sweet spot of whatever this is for you.
1099, all this freelance I'm working. Woo! Let's do it.
That's hilarious. Yeah, exactly. And the 9 of pentacles is a super peaceful card. And I'll text you a picture of these and I'll post it on the socials for everybody to see as well. But the 9 of pentacles is like this beautiful woman, like in her garden. She's like holding this little bird and it's super serene. It's very much the card of like security and fulfillment, and not just the physical fulfillment of stuff, meaning just like finances and like your car, your house, like all that, like how, like that, just like, you know, tangible stuff that's in front of you. It's not that. It's also like the inner sense of peace and security, which is almost, I think, in my opinion, more important than like the physical plane stuff. And so also having this be the last card of the spread, I thought was super exciting because it's kind of showing this journey that you're on. And we're ending with this card, which is hands down super positive, like with like money and inner peace and like security and peace on all levels.
Yeah. So
contextually, it's really interesting again, because we have these tens and these 2 9s, which is actually so fucking funny. I love the 1099 thing. That's so weird. I can't believe I didn't think of that. But you're seeing it's in like in whole, we're seeing very much the closing of an old chapter, the opening of a new one, specifically around job and finances. Mm. And you have some decisions to make, but just know that you can trust yourself because you already know what the right decision is, even if it feels a little random or weird. You can trust yourself, like your intuition is correct. So you probably already know what I'm thinking of and you probably already know the answer. And that's great.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's definitely true too, because I think obviously it goes goes in alignment with just this year in general. You know, being furloughed, losing my job, and then sort of having to figure out like, okay, what is life now, you know? Now that you don't have a full-time job, because I've been in full-time jobs ever since high school, 2010, and not full-time, but you know, I've been working like steadily at a place like here and there, like when I was in college and whatnot, I would work part-time and whatnot. Never have I really done freelance stuff and done it kind of successfully. And at least in my eyes, what I think is successfully, but I think that kind of turning the chapter, turning the page to a new chapter is hopefully something, you know, going from 2020 to 2021. I think a lot of people are going to be in that kind of same boat.
Yeah.
But I think more so in particular, like letting that past not die, but go away, and then trying something different where I can kind of be a little bit more confident with myself and working with, various people and different outlets and whatnot.
And you should be feeling fucking great, because like you said, like you are being recognized and respected for your work. Like your reputation, which is great, is preceding you. So like the way we're gonna open.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels good to like have people kind of like reach out to me and say, like, I've had people reach out to me and literally say, oh, Ken has said so much good stuff about you. I'm like, oh my God, no, thank you so much. Not Grace, you didn't say shit. All right, well, whatever. Fuck that. But, you know, no, but like, it's really nice for people to say such things after, especially like the stuff that I would work on, like that I'd be working full time. I'd hear so much stuff like, oh, you guys are great. But like nothing ever came, like it was just all words. But now for people to like kind of say that and then like hire me for a job, it's like, oh, that's kind of nice. It kind of all comes full circle a little bit. I still don't get it. I still think I'm crap. But it's nice that they, you know, are giving me a shot at least. And, you know, that's nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way. I hate everything I do. So when that happens, I'm like, what? Like, you want to enjoy it and like fucking kill it. So I'm excited for you. Like, this is a great read. Like, I'm jealous. It's great.
Yeah, you're not going to be jealous once I get all those 1099s next year. Jesus Christ.
My poor accountant, I just like drive up and I'm like, here's 8,000 pages. I don't know what to do with fucking any of these, and farewell. And here's your money.
Yeah, my accountant next year is going to have a field day. And by accountant, I mean my grandma.
Well, I can't think of a better note to end on. This was so fucking awesome. It's fun having people that I'm actually like very close to in real life on the show, because it's like, what a fun thing. And also like, it's so great to pick your amazing filmmaking brain about this kind of stuff. So thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you. Yeah. I mean, the feeling's mutual. The only reason, like, we have you and like four other people, because you guys are the only people that we like. Everyone else are just like, we don't really want to talk to them. So it's nice to talk one-on-one. You know, it's always fun talking with Brian and Cody and whatnot, because, you know, I can rely on them to do funny stuff and whatnot, but it's cool. And this was fun to just hang out and shoot the shit. And thank you for having me on.
Yeah, of course. And you're always welcome back. And I'm happy to, I wanted to like single you guys out, because I know that a lot of times you get like lumped together. So I'll obviously have both of them on as well.
Yeah. Fuck guys. No, I'm kidding. I love them. They won't listen to this, by the way. They won't.
No, they won't for sure. And also, okay. So you're the best. I'm going to stop the recording for the people, but you stay here for a second.
Okay.
Now raise your hand if you enjoyed just the shit out of that. I'm raising my hand. Isn't he the best? I'm so grateful that he took the time to come on the show. And similarly to when I forgot to do Chrissy's tarot read, I forgot to ask Christian about his picks of the day and or week and picks for all time. So I'm just going to tell them to you guys here, and I will, of course, include them in the show notes as usual. He had three picks, and they were a found footage horror film called Hell House LLC, which I will find and link if I can. And then he also recommended a horror video game that he calls, quote, the hardest fucking game ever, end quote, called Alien Isolation. Sounds very exciting. And then lastly, he wanted to recommend the Bad Friends podcast with Bobby Lee and our friend Andrew Santino. They're great. He's great. Enjoy a really funny podcast. So Christian, thank you for your picks of the week. Sorry that I didn't take the time to ask you on air. And then I had one just for myself, because I know that this is coming out on Wednesday. I hope to fuck that there's some good news or imminent new news by the time that this comes out. But just in case, I'm including a little mini guided meditation from Jamie Lee Finch, who's just a phenomenal trauma advocate, religious deconstruction advocate, feminist, just like an all-around bad bitch that I'm absolutely obsessed with. If you don't know her, get to know her. So her name is Jamie Lee Finch, and I'm going to be linking her little mini guided meditation, because times are hard. What a year. So that's that, friends. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for being flexible and patient with my shoot schedule. It's a very exciting time, and I appreciate you guys reaching out and wishing me well. You guys give me the feelings, and that's it. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, tell your friends, tell your mom's friends, tell your aunt friends, unless they voted for Trump and they can go fuck themselves. But other than that, tell your friends who are cool, and tell them to rate and review the show, especially on Apple Podcasts. And you can support the show on my Anchor page. You can go to anchor.fm/thinkpiecing/support, or you can just Venmo me at Mrs. Graceface. Also, you can shop show merch via the link in the show's link tree, which is listed on my socials everywhere, which is at ThinkPiecing across all platforms. And I'm Grace Hancock. You can follow me everywhere at Mrs. Graceface. And that's the tits, and I'll see you guys next week.
Hey team, I'm Grace Hancock, and I wanted to let you know that I'm adding new designs to my Society 6 shop with several on their way. If you didn't know, you can go to society6.com/Mrs. Graceface and shop prints of my original artwork, as well as tons of other items like stationery, notebooks, mugs, throw pillows. It's a great place to shop for gifts or just for yourself, especially in my shop if you like witchy expressionism. So head to society6.com/Mrs. Graceface and check it out.